And so what I wanted to focus on, you know, we talked about ingratiation last week, and so I want to focus on ego this time. And one of the things that, you know, we talked about the law of esteem, and the law of esteem recognizes that all humans need and want praise, recognition, and acceptance. So we talk about that, but we all have an ego. And at sometimes our ego can be, well, let's just say very fragile. We all yearn to feel important. The ego or our individuality demands respect. We want approval. We seek accomplishment. Deep inside every man and woman is a desire for importance and approval. This ego of ours can cause us to act, as Spock would say, illogically or just destructively. Or it can cause us to act nobly or bravely. When our ego is starved, we seek nourishment any way we can get it. Feed the hungry ego, and it's going to be a lot more persuadable. We talked a little bit about this last week. The hunger itself is universal, so we need to feed it on a daily basis, whether it's self-affirmation or we need to get some workout partners that are going to help us with that so that we don't get or we don't need our ego outside of our own support system. J.C. Staley found out that the principal causes of dissatisfied workers, we talked about this, is failing to give, number one, is failing to give employees credit for suggestions. Number two is failing to correct grievances. Number three, failing to encourage employees. Number four, criticizing employees in front of other people. Number five, failing to ask employees their opinions. Number six, failing to inform employees of their progress. Number seven is just flat out negativism or favoritism. Okay, so we did a little study. School administrators sought to find the ratio of positive to negative statements overheard in school faculty lounges. School faculty lounges. These are the people that are training, educating us for the future. So this is our edumacators, right? Excuse me, I had to get a little drink there. 32 schools were in the study, and they were picked throughout the nation, and let me ask a question, maybe this. Would you be more likely to assume that there were more positive or more negative comments?
Far more negative where there should have been positive.
Exactly. So everybody says negative, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. But you may not realize how right you were. Research were shocked when they tallied up the statements, and they found that the ratio was 6% positive, 94% negative. Guys, that's startling, especially for those of us who want to put ourselves in a position of leadership, and you want to create a center of influence in your industry where you're going. 96% negative by those who educate our children and us on a daily basis. Now, if you think about your education, you spent 14 years in primary school, or, you know, all the way up through high school, and then you spent anywhere from 2 to 10 years, depending on how advanced a degree, in college. And colleges were included in this study. And in those situations, 94% negative. That means that in the classroom, I guarantee you, it's not far off from that percentage. So think about, you know, anywhere from 14 to 24 years spent, 94% negative. Okay? And if you look at it closer, the people that were teaching you, none of them made over six figures unless they were lucky, and none of them made anywhere close to seven figures, so you're learning from people who can't do it. So think about what you've gone through from an education standpoint, and let's talk about your ego, just in a sense of what it's done or not done for you over the years. I want you to recall a situation in your life where you feel that your ego caused a situation to sour, either lost a sale or had a bad negotiation or whatever it is. And I want you to think about, why was it so important to your ego? Okay, now this is one where I normally ask for participation, but I don't want anybody telling on themselves. So just from that standpoint, think of this to yourself. Write down that situation and then reflect on it. Okay, and then I want you to think about how you might be able to build someone else up, and I want you to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 100 on building someone's ego. How are you at building up somebody rather than tearing them down? And then ask yourself, why do you say that? You know, there's an effective technique. Anytime someone challenges your abilities, especially your abilities to do business, what's your immediate and instinctive reaction? Man, you put up the defenses so fast. And
you put their
padlock
for me in your qualifications.
Exactly. I mean, you're saying, yeah, but I do this and I do that. And the funny thing is, they may or may not be right or wrong. You never know. So here's a way to diffuse, not eliminate, but to diffuse those type of situations. When someone doubts you, or, you know, if you can politely express your doubts and concerns about your personal or proposal, watch the results. Just watch it. When you express a little bit of doubt, you almost cause them to start
defending
your product or service. If you said to your supervisor, if you're an employee, I'm not sure you're able to get those reps of yours producing, so I may hire a consultant. That's almost threatening. But, you know, they'll start working on it pretty quickly. Or you can say something like, do you really have the power to help me out? Boy, does that make a difference. One of the questions I remember... Go ahead.
I was going to ask, Rob, finish your thought. I'll come back to it.
Okay. One of the questions that really worked well for me is just that same question. Do you have the power to make the decision, or do we have someone else that we need to include in this conversation? And that I used to ask that question for two reasons. Number one, to find out if they did have the power. Number two, if they didn't have the power, to kind of to bypass them. And so,
like a perfect technique when talking.
Yeah, it really works well. Okay, I guarantee you, when you ask that question in the right way, your prospect, whoever they may be, will do whatever they need to do to show you that they do have the power. Okay? When you're employing this technique, though, you got to be careful not to damage the ego. If you're trying to work with someone and they really aren't the person who can make the decision, you don't want to be working with them, right? But if you damage the ego, you've damaged your opportunity to go to the next level. So in a lot of cases, when they say, well, you know, I'm most of the decision, I said, who else do we need to include? Notice the words. Who else do we need to include to ensure the decision gets made? I mean, a lot of times I'll say, you're one cog in the wheel. Who's the other cogs in the wheel that we need to have? Okay? Another challenge to someone's ego is commonly used by sports coaches in a team environment. When during football practice a player is not putting out 100%, is late for meetings, or keeps making, you know, the end, keeps on letting someone get around them or something like that. The coach has a perfect ego-based solution. He brings the team together, explains exactly what has happened with that particular player. He then has the whole team except for the guilty player run laps. I don't know if any of you have ever had to do that, where you're sitting around because of a mistake you made and the whole team's running.
I've used that very effectively.
You definitely don't want to be in that situation. You know, and there's been situations, I mean, obviously you can do direct where you make them run for the mistakes, and that's good. But when you're making someone else pay for your mistakes, oh, man. A lot of different ways of motivation. Hey, there are many challenging messages geared toward our egos. If you look at a multi-level marketing meeting or network marketing where the managers are, you know, they're saying they're looking for go-getters and people who can take action. You know, they're appealing to the ego. Or a teacher who tells a student, I'd like you to do these quote-unquote advanced assignments. You know, I've seen sales presentations make a subtle attack on a prospect's ego when they're not even getting a sale. I mean, they might say, well, I guess you need your wife here to make that decision. Or I guess you don't have the authority to make the decision. Oh, man, if you use that right, especially with guys, you'll get their back up real quick. You know, I don't need that. And quite frankly, nowadays it's getting to be where, you know, a lot of females are going, hey, it's an equal family. I can make decisions just as well as my husband. So understand that you can use some of those examples when you're working on the ego. Another example is getting, or giving credit, rather, to people for things they didn't even know they did. When you give credit, you know, for something that they expect, it's really not something that makes an effect. But when you give credit when they weren't expecting it, boy, does that make a big splash. Not that you shouldn't give it when they do deserve it. The catch is, and sometimes you'll find people, not to necessarily be dishonest, but people will give credit when they know the job hasn't actually been done. The catch with that is, all of a sudden now they have to live up to that credit. Again, ego-based. You know, you've heard such phrases as, you probably already know, or you will soon realize, or I bet you didn't know. All of those are direct challenges to our ego. And they make us think, they make us react, they make us you know, take a measure of where we are really at. So, you know, anytime a direct challenge is leveled, then we have a tendency to try to meet that or to give up one or the other. Okay, so when you find yourself in a persuasive situation, it's really essential that you seek to enhance your prospect's ego in some way, whatever that way may be. Too often, you know, our presentation is such that we instill, you know, feelings of threat or competition or jealousy or even mistrust. When you're trying to build someone up, be sure, you know, to build their ego up, be sure you praise. And be sure, again, that it's sincere and genuine. Again, we don't want to be condescending. When we solicit someone's cooperation, everyone wins. Back to the comment I made about 4 weeks ago, one of the biggest challenges as I was younger was, you know, IBM's a great company, but they don't have all the tools someone needs for a particular situation all the time. So there were many times when I had to include people who were bidding against me and using part of their products to get something done. And in a particular example, I had to include HP. And this was early 90s, and I kind of coined a phrase called co-opetition. And it seems like it's kind of taken off all over the place. But the point is, I had to sell their printers with my laptops, PCs, and servers to get this bid done, because at that point in time, you know, IBM had sold their printer division to Lexmark, and they hadn't gotten back in printing yet. So I didn't have printers. And HP was bidding against me. This is before they bought Compaq, with their laptops, servers, and computers. And they had the printers. Well, I won that bid, you know, not because of anything that I was necessarily doing right, but using that co-opetition showed that I was a little bit more open to external sources, and I actually used another company for a different part of it. For the networking part, we used some Cisco things rather than the IBM products, which, you know, my IBM cohorts were saying are much better than the Cisco products, but Cisco had the better name at that point in time. Anyway, the point is, you've got to make them feel like you're willing to work with them so that they're willing to work with you. Okay? You know, we talked about, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the law of obligation. And when you tell a woman she looks good in those shoes or that dress, you know, it really makes a big difference. And if you're in a sales situation, she's going to go right to the register and buy. You know, she feels great. She feels great about the sale. You know, or how about the time you walk by somebody and they say, "Have you lost weight? Have you been working out?" Something like that. Boy, it really makes you feel good. Okay? You know, there's a Southern general, General James Oglethorpe, when King George of England desired permission to establish a colony in the New World. None of his arguments or presentations, no matter how carefully they were crafted, won the king over. You know, when it finally came down to it, the general had a different idea. He proposed that the colonies be named after the king. The funny thing is, after that suggestion, not only did he have permission, but was given the finances to help the people populate and build Georgia. There's a particular set of ego rules that should be employed when dealing, especially with a superior. If you're trying to impress somebody, you should approach it completely different from how you would handle an employee. Always make those above you feel comfortably superior. Doesn't mean they necessarily are, but you got to make them feel that way. In your desire to please or impress them, don't go too far in displaying your talents to them. Otherwise, you might accomplish the exactly opposite of what you were hoping for, you know, by inspiring fear or insecurity. It's important that you do your job well, but you don't want to do it so well that you, you know, make your superior look bad, unless you can find a way to include them in the results. Okay, when a student outshines his master, there is a blow to the ego, unless you might be a Jedi master, okay? So the master wants to appear more brilliant than the student. Okay, so let's talk, let's do some questions. First of all, I want you to list three ways you could challenge someone's ego in a persuasive way. Three ways you could challenge someone's ego in a persuasive way. That's number one. Number two is analyze your first contact with your prospect or customers. In that contact, in that quote-unquote moment of truth, do they feel accepted or rejected? Okay, number three, how do you react when someone challenges your ego? Does your behavior when you're challenged attract or repel that prospective prospect? Boy, that's hard to say. Okay.
So three ways to challenge persuasively.
Analyze your first contact. And how do you react when someone challenges your ego? You know, in persuasion, we're faced with the difficult task of building the egos of our audience while placing our own egos on hold. And if you can get effective at getting rid of your pride, getting rid of your ego, you're going to have a lot more effectiveness in your ability to persuade. In order to effectively persuade, you have to let go of your ego and focus on your objective, which is to get the sale or whatever it is you're trying to get. You don't have time to tinker with your bruised ego if someone bruises it. Check your ego at the door. Remember your overriding purpose. Focus on persuasion, not on yourself. Okay, the ego is one area where it isn't going to happen quickly. One of the things I tell people is this is not an overnight developed skill. This is going to be one of those skills in which you practice it or you start trying it, you get frustrated, you have to do it again, and it'll happen over and over. It's not something that's going to work perfectly for you the first time. Some of you are probably far beyond where I'm at. But if you take the time to focus in your next direct contact, your next moment of truth, on just getting rid of your ego and focusing on what your customer wants, not worrying about your ego, get the sale, get the deal done beside yourself, if that makes sense. Okay, any questions on the ego?
Can I redirect back to it? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I missed that first question in sequence.
The first question is list three ways that you could challenge someone's ego in a persuasive way. So, for instance, if, you know, there's people on this phone in real estate, there's people in internet, there's people in Forex, you know, there's a lot of different channels. So, for instance, if it happened to be internet, how could you challenge someone's ego in a persuasive way that might work out? So you have to think in that genre.
There's a great site out there called The Rich Jerk. And
yep.
How effective he is in terms of helping a lot of people generate income, I don't know. But
he
sure
does
well. Grab your attention and get you to say, well, I'm not an idiot. You know, he straight up slanders you. He just insults you and says, you know, I'm so rich, blah, 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 blah. But it's so outrageous that, you know, he's not. The guy that wrote it obviously isn't serious. He obviously doesn't think he's that much better than you. But it makes you read on.
Yep.
So there's an internet example.
And that's one example. Now, I've read his stuff because obviously I'm into marketing, and so that's very important to me. But it also takes it beyond where I would go, but it's great learning. Great learning.
Yeah.
I love his marketing techniques because it shows me what to do and what not to do all in one session. But he gets great results. Know him well.
What about for MLM? Like, you know, John, I don't know if you would even have the time to take a look at this kind of an opportunity, but, you know. And then whatever your pitch was to, you know, to get him to look at a CD or come to a meeting or whatever it was.
Right. Well, one of the, you know, there's, we're going to talk about it next week. I'm going to have you guys draw an example, and we're going to talk about networking and how to build your network and how to deal with every level on your network. In your network, there's people who look up to you. There's people who you look up to, and then there's people kind of on the same level. I'm going to talk next week about how to, now this is going to be real life examples, how to talk to each of those examples.
Okay.
And I'm even going to, I'll even open up the phone calls for people to say, hey, try this industry. And I'll do my best and give some examples, and we'll have it, we'll make it real interactive. So that'll be good. Good question. Any other questions on the ego?
Hey, Rob, can I take it back to what you were talking about quite a while ago?
Absolutely.
Politely express, introduce an element of doubt in your own proposition, and then have the prospect, you know, take a defensive stance in support of your position. Can you apply that to a situation in raising capital in a presentation for real estate?
You know, there. Yeah. And you know what? You know what I'd rather do? On real estate, in about 3 weeks, we're going to talk about how to finance anything you want, any business you want on the 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time call in about 3 weeks. So why don't we do it on there, because I'm going to go over the 8 keys to getting financed. I'm going to go over, you know, some examples on how to do some things and whatnot. So why don't we hold off on that one for that, because I'm going to give you a whole bunch of examples.
Sounds good.
Perfect. Any other questions? Okay, one thing I want to do on the call is to make sure that everybody's aware that starting next Thursday and every Thursday thereafter, there's going to be a new number, so get out your pencils, pieces of paper. This is the call, this number I'm about to give you, is the number that I am going to be on. I'm literally locked in Mortal Kombat with one of our technology guys on not changing the number. So the number will be 712-432-1620. And the user code will be 294-989-POUND. 294-989-POUND. Okay? Any questions on ego before we head out?
I got one.
Go ahead.
I'm a younger guy, so dating. I just want to apply it to be able to make do what you want. Not in that way, but to get people more attracted to you magnetically in any situation, even in networking and that kind of thing. How would you? How do you not stroke someone's ego too much?
Good.
Or maybe
walking that fine line. You know, stroking their ego without being condescending.
Yeah.
You know, or going overboard, or getting to the point where they say, oh, you're full of crap, in other words. Right? It's a tough question, and the answer is it depends on the person. Some people absolutely need a ton more praise than other people because of their background. One of the things I try to do in that situation is look at people's background. Were their parents supportive or negative? What job are they in? Is their job supportive or negative? If they're in school, you know that 94% of what they're getting is negative. Okay,
sure.
So think about the situation they come from, and then measuring. When you get to that, when you start getting roll eyes, you've probably gone too far. So, I mean, don't quit it at that point, but back down. So reading the people, reading their body language, reading how they react to your praise is huge. And if you're somebody who is a constant praiser, or you decide in your heart of hearts that you're going to be somebody who's always positive and who's always uplifting, I guarantee you it's tough for people not to want to be around you if you're always positive.
Sure.
Okay? And that being said, it's still a lot harder to do that than you can ever imagine.
Of course. And then the other question of it is the opposite, is how do you bruise the ego a little bit in a way that creates persuasion, and it may be just in more of a social situation, or more of a networking kind of a...
Yeah, and that's, you know, part of that, if you're new to the calls, and it's been all the way since, I want to say, either January or February, it was March, I think we went over dissonance, and that's kind of what bruising the ego is. You know, your goal is to initially bruise it and then bring it back and create some dissonance, create, you know, some of that rubber band stretching and build them back up. And we'll talk about that. You know, there's 12 laws in 12 months, so, you know, as it rolls around next year, we'll be talking about it again. But you also want to make sure that, you know, you have a plan when you do that, but you're not just doing it for the heck of it. You know, because if you don't have a plan, then all it is meanness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And for those of you that are on this call and have been real patient with us through all this number changing and whatnot, and, you know, here we go changing again next week, but it'll be the last time. But if you send an email to rob@exponentialrealestate.com, I will send you a little training on the ego.
Perfect.
Just send an email to rob@exponentialrealestate.com and I'll send out that to you. Perfect. Any other questions?
Will the real estate call be at the same number?
Uh-huh.
That we came in tonight, or the new one?
The one we came in tonight, and then we'll switch over next week to the new one. And I got to tell you, for those of you that are in the real estate program, next Thursday night, I'm going to have some people that were in South Bend, and some of the things that they've done and accomplished, and I think you're going to, you know, some of them, you know, are pretty cool stories. So you'll want to be on that call. You'll hear some of the things that that they've done and accomplished, and I think you'll be, I think you'll enjoy that call. That's the only way I say it. So next Thursday's call for the real estate is going to be that. Tonight, I have to go back and look at my notes to see what we're talking about, but we'll definitely have a great call tonight as well, but next Thursday night should be fun. And any other questions?
One last one.
Go ahead.
You talked about how it was something that took you a while to learn and those kinds of things. What things were most effective to help you develop the skill?
Focused practice. And what I mean by that is take some examples of things you want to accomplish, like focusing completely on somebody else's needs during the conversation, and just work on that specific area, or just work on building people up, you know, or something like that. So you're just working on, you know, specific things initially. One of the things I tell people, you know, we do some internet training from time to time, and it can become massively overwhelming if you're trying to do everything at once. And you know, if you read Kurt's new book, Persuasion IQ, or Magnetic Persuasion, or, you know, one of his older books, if you try to implement anything instantaneously, you're going to fail miserably. But if you can learn to take one thing at a time and just master that one thing, it will increase your income tremendously. And so my opinion there is pick one or two things for the rest of this week on building people up, on learning to pick out sincere reasons to compliment somebody. You know, those type of things, and work on those and get better at those, And I think that will exponentially increase your income just with those simple things. Great question, though.
Kind of goes in with the logic of how do you eat an elephant?
Yeah, one freaking bite at a time. Perfect. Any other questions? Great call, great interaction today. I'm really excited about increase in interaction. That's great. It really makes the calls more exciting for everyone involved. So if you're out there just a listener, get in the interactive mode, especially before you get on the real estate call later on tonight and next week. And we look forward to chatting with you guys next week on Persuasion and in about an hour on real estate. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.